Yeah, so one of the pitfalls of drinking, besides alcoholism and illness and death.
Drunkenness and, you know, screwing someone you didn't want to screw.
Ruined relationships and all of that. Sometimes you put on a little weight.
Yeah, there is that. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So, the holiday season is upon us.
It's upon us, hardcore.
Yeah, and we are helping you to survive, to thrive. And stay alive during the holiday season with our survival guide.
Yeah, this is the annual survival guide that we put out. We update it every year with new tips and tricks
because
and ideas.
It's harder every year to deal with the holiday season.
It is.
Right, we have new challenges. So, what do you have? Huh. You're going to kick it off.
I'm going to kick it off because, like, hey, you know, everybody talks about drinking in moderation.
Huh?
But
I don't.
Not during the holidays.
No. In fact, I've been going dry to get ready for the holidays.
Oh, have you?
Yes. That way it's easier for me to enjoy myself
when I
have a low tolerance.
Well,
at the office party.
It's inevitable that you're going to drink during the holidays, and you're going to drink a lot.
Yeah, because people are plying you with free booze. Everywhere you go, people are buying rounds, you're going to parties.
And there's a lot of stress. Dealing with a lot of people, dealing with family.
This is America, there's booze everywhere.
Right. You know, you're looking at your bank account.
Yeah. And you're thinking, do I have $14 to get a bottle of red?
Yeah, so one of the pitfalls of drinking, besides alcoholism and illness and death.
Drunkenness and, you know, screwing someone you didn't want to screw.
Ruined relationships and all of that. Sometimes you put on a little weight.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, so one of the pitfalls of drinking, besides alcoholism and illness and death.
Drunkenness and, you know, screwing someone you didn't want to screw.
Ruined relationships and all of that. Sometimes you put on a little weight.
Yeah, there is that. So you're going to tell us how not to?
Yes.
Okay.
So, listen, if you want to enjoy beer, it doesn't require getting a beer belly.
It doesn't?
No.
All
you have to do is follow three simple rules.
Is it really enjoying it then, though? If there's no evidence?
All right. So, what you do if you're going to be drinking some beers.
Okay. Some sweet beers.
When drinking, eat protein instead of fat.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so every food that you consume is made up of more than one of the following macronutrients: protein, fat, and carbohydrates.
Okay.
Each of these macronutrients have specific properties, such as the number of calories they contain and the impact on the levels of hunger and fullness, and then, of course, the calories in them.
Okay.
Of these, fat is the most misunderstood.
Yeah, that's what he's saying all the time. No one understands me. I keep trying to make myself plain to people.
Okay, so then whenever you're drinking alcohol with fat, it gets stored on your body faster.
Okay.
And so what you have to do really is eat plant proteins and animal proteins with your beer in order for it to be burned off faster. Otherwise, it's going to be stored on your
body. That's going to be hard in America because so few bars offer any kind of food.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just a carb.
Yes. And it also...
At the bar.
Right. And your body's ability to utilize fat as fuel is also decreased.
By the alcohol?
By the alcohol.
Okay.
So, anyway, so opt for low-fat foods on days that you know you're drinking.
That's interesting.
And consume copious amounts of lean protein.
Copious amounts.
Copious amounts.
Okay.
Okay, so that's one rule.
All right. Rule number one, protein.
Number two is avoid binge food.
Okay. I mean, really, that can be any food.
Yes.
That there's a lot of that I can get into my mouth.
I know. One study found that men consuming the edge of 56 grams of beer a day took in 16% more calories than non-drinkers.
That's because these are people who just want to eat and drink more.
I know.
It's not like... You know?
Yeah. So,
these are people who are, you know, gourmand.
Yeah, well, you know? When you're drinking, you tend to eat more.
Of course.
So the idea is don't sit around food that you're going
to
binge on.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone the other day because this is the time of year, around September, a lot of people are like, I'm going dry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A couple of my female friends are doing this. We go out And it's like, do you want to get a drink? I'm like, no, I'm not drinking. I'm like, oh, thank goodness, me either. So then we just have a coffee.
I don't think I've ever said that to you.
Well, we haven't done it at the same time. Yeah, like, yeah, there's been times when you've given up drinking and then sugar or whatever, but it just hasn't coincided.
Right.
But it just so happened a couple of my female friends were also going dry. I'm like, whatever. So we debrief with each other. I'm like, how's it going? I'm like, I'm boring as shit. Not only am I boring, but I've lost weight because I don't care to eat.
Yeah. Because you don't eat. You're not stimulated. Your appetite isn't stimulated.
So apparently the wine was helping out restaurants.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. So usually when you're drinking, you end up eating late night food and things like that.
That second dinner.
Yes. 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 So that
the bodega becomes a frequent place.
Right. So you got to just like, if you have the drinks, try to stay away from anything that you're going to like binge on. But that's really hard.
Or I would say try to keep, and this is just a general rule for the holidays, keep like chopped healthy things around, like carrot sticks, celery. And I know it sounds dry AF, but if it's right there, you'll reach for it. It's crunchy. You won't notice.
Right.
Because a lot of times when you're drinking, the food is secondary. You just want to put something in your mouth.
Right. Get some hummus.
Yeah, get some hummus.
And some carrots and celery and have that ready to go.
And after having a couple handfuls of carrots, you'll just be like, you know what? I'm done with eating.
And you're ready to pass out.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Yeah, but if you do, you're eating, yes, do that. Or get some high protein food around. Have those chicken strips cold in the fridge,
Some jerky.
Or have some chicken or fish. Who comes home after a night of drinking is like a nice filet.
Yeah. Or some cubes of fish.
Yeah.
And a bowl of fish.
Yeah. And
a snack on that.
While you're still sober, this is another thing you can put in
plan
place.
Plan ahead.
Write a note to future you telling you exactly what you're going to do at the end of the night.
I'm going
to
write it as like, look at yourself. You're pathetic. You were out again.
Yeah, it says, we were going to Denny's and get a grilled chicken breast with a side salad instead of mashed potatoes. That's what you have to write to yourself.
That's what you're going to tell yourself to do?
Yeah.
What if you write something down and you come back and something else is there?
Yeah.
I know. like, I never wrote this.
Well, you write it when you're sober and then you
I'm just saying.
Who wrote this?
Yeah, who wrote
this? Who got in here? Somebody got in this place.
Yeah.
And they're writing me
notes. Never said I was going to have a salad. That doesn't even sound like me. Clearly, I said I'm going to scarf down a bag of Doritos, followed by a bag of hot fries, followed by a bag of pirate booty. I like to end off with something healthy.
Yeah.
I didn't say I was going to have some grilled chicken strips.
Yeah, with a side salad.
Yeah. Ugh. No.
Okay, number three, pick drinks with higher alcohol to calorie ratio.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's obvious. You're not really a drinker if you don't know about that little trick.
Yeah, so you're saying like, hey.
Don't have a beer, have a vodka.
Yeah, have those shots instead of a pina colada.
Yes. In fact, never have mixed drinks if you're trying to watch your weight.
Yeah.
Never, because it's always the mixer that has all this stuff.
Yeah, all the calories and the margarita.
Yeah.
And the
have a martini, which is just a shot that's been shown an olive.
Yeah, right.
It's been shown
right.
A bottle of vermouth.
Or was it the divorced woman's drink, which is vodka and club soda with a lemon?
Or you can have a skinny bitch, which is Diet Coke and vodka.
Yeah.
With duck face.
Yeah. With some duck face.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So champagne or light beer is also good.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
A better choice than the mixed drinks.
That's good to know because that's definitely what I'm going to be getting down on.
So this is an incredibly helpful list of things that you can do. So you're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for three things.
Yeah.
So it's Black Friday apparently isn't what it used to be.
What?
Yeah. They're saying retailers are forced to adapt. Which I'm sure they don't like.
Okay.
So I got this article from it's Money Watch, and they're saying with a lot of retailers are closing down. So we don't go to malls that much, but apparently a lot of the flagship stores and malls have been closing down all over the country, and as a result, people aren't going to the malls because apparently the idea is that people are going to Macy's or Nordstrom's, and then while they're also there, they'll go to like I don't know Foot Locker or one of the other places in the mall. A lot of places are still having their doorbuster specials, which is to create the idea that there's scarcity. Mm-hmm. Although we know in America there's never a scarcity
of anything.
Of anything in a big store.
You're going to get it.
Yeah, like the first 100 people get this toaster. You have thousands of toaster. So a lot of Black Friday deals apparently have started already.
Mm-hmm.
They started at the beginning of November.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any. They're not even waiting until Thanksgiving anymore. They're barely waiting until Halloween is over.
Oh, my God.
To get out the shopping. Because they're trying to get the frenzy going. So they're saying also in the historic nature of Black Friday is kind of going away. Mm-hmm. People, I guess, don't want to be trampled.
Yeah.
At Walmart.
They don't want to be trampled. They don't want to be ripped off.
Yeah, they don't want to have a fight with anybody. And they're saying that there will be sales, but that hopefully you won't see any elbows flying. So basically they're saying it's a scary time for retailers because there's a phenomenon called cascading.
Cascading? I didn't know
this
what is that?
This is unplanned markdowns. So as the season progresses, they're always like things get cheaper mm-hmm, as you mm-hmm. get closer to the holidays. But cascading is an unplanned markdown. So for example, maybe you're the Gap and you're in a big mall and two of the flagship stores have closed down and they're having sales because they're trying to liquidate. Now you have to have a sale.
Okay.
So you're undercutting the profit you would make early because everyone else is having a sale. So you have to have a sale. And then also there's the Amazon effect. Mm-hmm. They call it the Amazon. So if you're not in the Amazon, you're mm-hmm. not getting things out there. And then some places are actually taking Amazon returns in the hopes of getting people just to come in the store. So I guess if you buy something from a store that sells through Amazon, like a Kohl's or something, and you want to return it, you can take it back to the physical store because they said 25% of the time, people end up buying something else.
Wow.
So they just want you to get inside.
It sounds like that we're really changing the way we shop, period, all the way around.
Yeah. So a lot of people are not waiting until a certain time of year to buy things that they need. Like, I buy stuff when it's on sale. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, regardless, I might buy a winter coat, like, in the spring or the summertime, right, just because there's a sale. They said also Black Friday store traffic has been dropping 5 to 10% every year.
Wow.
But UPS is busier than ever and is going to do like a billion packages holiday season, which I think is crazy. They're saying also too, and this is while malls have to be more customer service mm-hmm, oriented. Mm-hmm. So now apparently, and this is why we maybe need to get back into a mall, in addition to having valet parking and they have free coffee.
Oh.
Childcare.
What?
And foot massages.
Well,
that happening? Or is it just some freaky foot fetish people?
That's what I say. That's like somebody.
Who are these people who are rubbing a foot outside of Nordstrom's?
They're not affiliated with the store, I'll tell you that much.
They're not affiliated with shit. It's just some guy or some gal who's coming with a chair.
Yeah.
And loves to handle a foot.
Yeah. And it's like, the holidays.
Yes, the holidays.
I love the holidays.
Tis the season.
Forgiving me. Yes. Foot.
Your foot. So apparently, they're saying that.
And by the way, I'm not handing over my child to anyone in a department store. That is the funnel for the black market
for stealing kids.
Selling them off.
That's what Black Friday is about. You get your kids on that day. You get the fresh kids. So it says here that stores, brick and mortar stores, need to do something that online retailers can't. So I guess online retailers can't give you a foot rub yet. Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
But they're saying they have to respect the customer and that customers want to shop with intelligence, not fisticuffs. Like, they need to be told that. Like, oh, you know what? I don't know if you guys knew, but I don't want to get decked in the face when I'm going for my doorbuster mm-hmm. and my feet hurt.
So
get down there.
Yeah.
And you can see what you have to do. Yeah. So, yeah. So
do what you have to do.
Yeah. So respect. They want to give people respect and foot rubs at the mall.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'm heading for the mall.
Yeah, maybe we have to go check out and see what who likes a foot in New Jersey.
Let's see, a foot in a cup of coffee in one hand,
yeah,
a foot in the other.
And we could just get a child from somewhere and leave it there.
Yeah.
just to see how it works.
Just use the service, yeah.
Let's just use the service.
Okay. So at the holidays, you know, you got the little kids.
Yeah, that you picked up from the mall.
Right, and they believe in Santa Claus.
Yes.
So you take them home.
Do they still believe in Santa Claus?
Kids do believe in Santa Claus.
For how long now? Until they're three?
Well, you know, then they start questioning.
Because they're on Amazon.
Santa or the kids?
No, the kids are on Amazon telling their parents what they want.
Yeah. Well, so kids believe in Santa. They do. But they start getting older and they start realizing and questioning it. So how do you tell a kid there is no Santa?
Like this. Look, there's no Santa Claus.
Oh, they have a great way to do it.
And our fiat currency is worthless. It's not backed by gold.
So this person, they came upon this advice online because it's
how to let them down.
How to let them down.
We've been lying to you. Your childhood is over.
Right. So the idea is that
Republicans run Congress.
It's over. Frivolous to adults, but to believe in something bigger than yourself.
Okay. This thing.
Yes. Yeah. So the strategy is...
Can't people just go with religion on that? Does it have to be Santa Claus?
Yeah,
shouldn't the thing you believe in that's bigger than yourself not be a fantasy of marketing from Coca-Cola?
I
don't know. That's just me. I'm cynical.
So first of all, the steps that what you do is you take the kid out one-on-one to a favorite spot and deliver the great news.
Mm-hmm.
What? The time has come for them to become Santa.
That's scary.
Yeah. So when they're 6 or 7, when you see that the dawning suspicion is coming over their face.
That's early.
You take them out for coffee or whatever it is.
You take them out back?
Yeah.
What happened to Charlie?
And then you start by saying something. You sure have grown an awful lot this year. Not only are you taller, but I can see your heart has grown too.
For some reason, I'm imagining like the woodsman in a fairy tale doing this. Like holding an axe by his back. It's like, you look mighty tall this year. Mighty tall. Let's have a little talk, son.
And then you talk about how the kids have shown empathy and some things that they've done that are nice for another person.
This kid is terrified at this point, wondering what's going to happen.
How proud that now that they are worthy of finally becoming Santa themselves.
Okay.
And assure your kid that they're ready to become Santa because they understand the true meaning of giving. It's not about the milk and cookies. And get them talking about all the reasons they think Santa is the best.
Okay. Wow. This imaginary...
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. How is a child of 7 going to reconcile the fact that Santa Claus is very old?
Because, well, it's a lie, first of all. They know that it's a lie.
No, but it's like you're telling the kid that you're going to become this lie.
Oh, you're going to become this. Well, yeah. No, you explain that it is what Santa is about giving
mm-hmm.
and doing nice things for people.
Okay.
And so now you are.
Is that what Santa's about?
Yeah.
Okay. How about Jesus and the Easter Bunny?
That's different.
Okay.
That's a whole other lie.
Okay.
Those are two other lies.
Is this one you say? Well, I'm going to take the bad kids out and tell them, you are now Krampus.
You are now Krampus.
Yes.
Go and kidnap other children.
Go and kidnap children,
and
yeah.
Sticks.
Maybe like, sweet. I've been waiting for this moment.
So Santa is not much of being a cool person, but the cool concept that you're focused on. And now mm-hmm. that the kid understands that it's why giving matters, not just receiving, they become Santa. And then you have, okay, you have a secret now.
I don't understand this they become Santa thing. That is
well, they have to go
to
out.
Me.
You assign them. You say, hey, now it's time for you to go and give a gift to somebody in secret. Go
oh,
leave a gift to somebody.
Oh, secret Santa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So choose someone that can really use a great gift, devise a plan, and give it away secretly. So the child chooses somebody they know, a neighbor usually. And they wrap up a present
mm-hmm.
and figure out a way to give it to the person in need. And then they do it, and they're Santa. And so they understand the concept of giving,
yes.
that it's really just not about getting gifts under a tree.
Even though that's what it's been about their entire
yeah.
lives.
Yeah.
Now you're like kind of pulling the curtain back. So this is interesting, because when I was a kid, this is some very gentle, probably suburban, well-educated people.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure our older cousins were like, stop being a little bitch. There's no Santa Claus. It's your parents.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure a lot of parents were like, you better thank me for this. I worked really hard.
Yeah.
To put this gift, you know, to put this Nintendo.
Yeah.
Or in my case, to put this Commodore 64 uh-huh. under the tree. This
I
Tandy.
Know.
64. This Tandy 1000 under the tree with these
yeah.
cassette tapes.
Simon.
Yeah. This Simon Says.
Yeah, Rubik's Cube in your
yeah.
in your stocking.
That was me.
Yeah. So remind them that being Santa is top secret business and that next year they carry on with their selfless Santa duties once again.
Yeah, okay. It's
and then
not
you have
bad.
To remind them that no one could ever know what they did or he wouldn't be Santa. So you can't tell.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting.
I don't think it's too bad.
I guess it's not too... I mean, this also presupposes that your child grows up in an area without people of other faiths.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure
that's
a, many
definitely.
A child is like, yeah, we were just told that this is something that Christians tell their kids. And then later on...
Yeah.
Like, we Buddhists right. don't really go in for this.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I can
yeah.
see how... Okay, you're Santa now? Fine, whatever.
Yeah, you fine,
know?
I'll take this.
Sure,
thank
I'll take
you.
It. So there's a lot going on. It's been an exhausting year.
Oh, it has been
exhausting.
Hasn't it? Yeah.
And some people are asking, is it okay to skip basically holiday get-togethers because of family tension over politics?
Ah.
So, you know, the situation that we have now is that here's the problem. Someone writes, I'm 26 and seriously considering skipping my family's Christmas dinner this year. My boyfriend and I voted for one presidential candidate while my entire family voted for the other. So you can guess which candidate this was. So the low road, they say, is what? Should I skip Thanksgiving when you could have fabulous food, fight with stuffing and cranberries, or I understand the temptation to be a no-show. This election has been stressful on everybody, and the reverberations continue. So the person who's writing back says, I encourage you to rethink your decision. These people don't want to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in my mind, when someone's like, I'm seriously considering, like, they pretty much decided that they don't want to go. The person said, this is your kin for better or for worse. If you bow out of this rich family-centric gathering, what will you do at other times of the year? The next birthday party, Thanksgiving. This is an opportunity to practice sharing space respectfully and will get more awkward the longer you stay away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about this. Like, if you're not, first of all, okay, if you want to go, fine. But to bring your boyfriend into this as well.
Yeah.
And if the situation is what I think it is, you don't have to break bread with bigots if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, there are some things that for people are non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of those kind of, like, interesting things.
It is. And it's really hard. You know, not that you say, where do you draw the line? What things do you go to?
Well, you can draw the line wherever you want.
You can do that. Right? But I honestly, if you want to go to some, say you have, like, there's kids in the family you want to see, you pick and choose those events where you can get up and walk around.
Yeah. Where you're not stuck at the table
to
hear somebody go on and on about something that you don't care about.
There's not that formality of sitting at the table and courses and the whole thing and then doing the activities of cooking or cleaning up together. So that one is a good one to say, hey, you know, this is a boundary.
Yeah. Or they say here, too, keep your visit shorter.
Mm-hmm.
They recommend going, come late, leave early,
mm-hmm.
which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
At dinner, jump in with questions about neutral topics, upcoming vacations or college plans. Deflect political talk with compliments about the turkey. Use humor, et cetera, et cetera. She said, I know this is hard work, but relationships are hard work. Any family worth his artisanal salt will be thankful for how hard you are trying. So this is all I have a problem with this. If you have to try to be nice, it's not being nice in my mind.
Yeah, if you try to be
if you're
nice,
trying, if everyone's working really hard. Like, what is the fun of, like, everyone getting together when there's seething, like, nastiness there? Are you supposed to, like, pretend like everything is fine?
Yeah.
I mean, no, don't go.
Yeah.
You know, if it's really as bad as you think it's going to be, perhaps without you there, they'll all have a good time and allow them to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like, well, why? Why be stuck in a situation like that?
I know. It's really hard.
Why agitate yourself?
This is the thing with family is you have to, as you get older and you break away and you really start seeing
people. Yeah, when you have more choice.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, I actually am not reliant on you guys or financially or as emotionally as I used to be. I don't think I need to be here.
Yeah.
But then there's the, I don't see what the positive is of going and being with people that you are hesitant to want to spend time with just because they're a family member. So on the tails of that, I have Carolyn Hacks.
Oh yes.
So this is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks
and it's unqualified.
And we like to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice, hence advice on advice.
Okay.
So it says, Dear Carolyn, my 32-year-old single son announced last night that he won't be joining the family for our holiday dinner.
Okay.
He feels our gatherings are forced.
All right.
And if he came, he would be bad company.
Oh.
Yeah. I use that every once in a while, too, when I don't want to go to something. I'll be bad company.
I'll be bad
you
company.
You don't want me there.
I mean, it's such a mood.
Yeah. Our small family has its quirks, like most. We are all local, and I reminded him that it's only 2 hours to offer. He has usually been the more demonstrative of my sons, so this disappoints me. I'm not sure what that means.
Demonstrative of his of yeah. the sons?
Oh. Yes.
Maybe, like, this breaking point has happened. There is some There's stuff going down. On. Yeah.
I suggested that someday he'll recognize the importance of family. I'm sure that went well with him. I think he already does, but is dealing with his own disappointments and, quote-unquote, loves lost, masking it with declarations of emotional independence. I'm prepared to not make a big deal of this and let him realize or not on his own. Any thoughts?
Oh.
Turkey's mom.
Turkey's mom. Yes. Ew. That's another weird thing.
So we, my single son. Okay, he's single.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Why, let him be.
Let him be.
Maybe that's one of the things that he doesn't want to listen to you or go on about.
And
being single.
It seems like he just got out of a relationship of some kind.
Because
he's like, he's dealing with his own disappointment and love's lost. So I'm thinking if he had a partner
mm-hmm.
and he was looking forward to spending the holidays with that partner mm-hmm. and now that person's not around, maybe the holiday season he just wants to take some time for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be around his family. That obviously him being single is an issue.
Yes.
Because she doesn't say anything else about her son.
You're right.
Except that he's single.
Right. So she's probably on him for being single.
Yeah.
And if he's the nicest one, imagine what she's saying to the other ones.
And what if he wants to do something else? Maybe he wants to be with some of his single friends
mm-hmm.
and they want to hang out and have like an orphan's Thanksgiving. All right. So Hax writes, "Dear Mom, my first thought is to wish you'd approach this in terms of what your son is feeling about himself instead of what he's taking away from you. Doesn't tending to his needs also count as recognizing the importance of family?"
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what about him?
Yeah, exactly.
And then she says, "Holy guilt trip. And tell me you just didn't call him a turkey. It's just 2 hours, yeah, so not making a big deal of it is a no-brainer, but your son's unhappiness might be a huge deal depending on how deep it runs and how well-equipped he is to address it." Because
yeah.
he said he's not going to be good company. Maybe he's depressed.
Yeah. And so it's only what they want, what she wants
yeah.
that matters.
She wants him, I guess, to come and, you know, be entertaining
so
and demonstrative.
Maybe she also has to think about how she's been treating him throughout the entire year that
yeah.
he's gotten to this point where it's like, hey, this holiday is a big deal.
Yep. And
I
don't want to be here.
You know?
She said, "I suggest you find it in yourself to recognize that you acted badly and then apologize to him.
Mm-hmm.
Say you let your disappointment crowd out what should have been concern for his present mood and ask what you can do. And as some preemptive advice, just in case, if you're making a big deal out of the single part," and she quotes, "my 32-year-old single son, then stop doing that. Since that alone can make 2 hours seem like an eternity."
Yeah.
"Treat him as a whole person, listen, and follow the lead." Yeah. And then some other people followed up and saying that a woman follows up and says, "I'm a 32-year-old single daughter. I love my family. But I like Thanksgiving, but at this time of year, I feel sad going to events alone."
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who are single who are not comfortable with it. And the holiday season reminds them mm-hmm. of being single. And probably going to see their parents
mm-hmm.
and other couples and families is not...
It's not, yeah,
yeah
it is
It's not
very
the
hard.
Most fun for them.
It is very hard sometimes
you know?
When you go back and everybody's talking about family units
yeah.
and relationships and all the fun things that they did and...
And then
How
you're just sitting there like...
And there's also a thing where if you're single and you're with, like, other couples, you know that they have their own, like, secret language and secret, like, glances and code for
mm-hmm.
each other to let each other know that, hey, I'm not happy or, you know, oh, can you believe someone just said this? You know, you have a little team member with you.
Yeah, and you're just going by yourself.
Yeah, you're by yourself. You don't have any backup or anything.
Yeah.
And so when you're in the midst and you're feeling already vulnerable,
yeah.
and then you're around everybody else who's...
And then people
are going
to ask
you
about it, which is something that I never have done to people. I'm never like, it's like, you seeing anybody? It's
mm-hmm.
like, they'll let you know.
Yeah.
If they want to talk about it. So some good advice
for
the holidays.
It's always a hard thing, even during the holidays, but even outside of the holidays. When you have a friend and they get married or whatever, you meet somebody's husband or wife for the first time or whatever, it's like, oh, I got to win this person over. Because
yeah.
if they don't like you.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
If they don't like you, guess what? You're not going to
wow.
really see this other person.
I
again.
Guess I'm incredibly self-centered because I generally don't give an F.
yeah.
I'm like, okay, great. Now you're dating this guy for a minute.
Oh, yeah. But I always thought,
I've
oh,
known you for 20 years.
I know. That's what I thought, too. I've known you for 20 years. So how is it going to change anything what your husband or wife thinks?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, it really does change things because they got to deal with that person that they live
oh.
with.
Oh, yeah. I think most of the people that I know now have not known me without my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we're very independent people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot see of people what you're saying. I hadn't thought about that.
The both of you are very, yes, you're very independent and you have your own.
Our own stuff going on.
And your
on.
Own lives and your own personalities and you're your own people.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think about that. But yeah, some people are definitely like they're a couple, they're together all the time and that's their kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, some interesting advice. I am a big fan of if you don't think it's going to be comfortable for you or if it's going to disturb you emotionally in any way, don't go. Just don't go and just tell, make up some excuse. Or tell the truth.
Right.
I don't like you.
Yeah.
I'm not coming, you know.
That's true. But it's already, you get retribution for that, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you have to be prepared for that. Because, of course, you can always say whatever you want, but there's always consequences. So if you feel like you can face the consequences, if not, come up with something.
Yes, that's right. That's what we have to say. Consequences, no matter, like, no if matter you want to get real honest with it.
Be ready for the consequences. Otherwise, come up with a lie that's credible.
Right.
All right, what do you have?
Well, I've got the Goop Holiday Survival Guide.
Are you kidding
so
me?
Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow, has her online subscription, whatever.
It's snakeoil.com / Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, yeah, these impossible things, these very snotty life advice that she gives. And
people are listening to this. I don't know who it is. I think these are probably ladies who are fancier than ourselves, but I don't even have enough money to even listen to this.
Yeah, but I'm also not, I don't prescribe to, you have to be like this in order to be like, this is what I should aspire to. I
don't
want to
be Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Okay, so what they have here is the Goop Holiday Survival Guide. Regardless of how well-equipped you may be, the holidays, particularly if you have little ones.
You're never as good as I am.
Yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Are pretty impossible fully prepare for. We asked some of our favorite creatives at Goop. They sat around the table and asked each other.
Yeah. It was just actually four mirrors set up to reflect her at herself. And they all agreed. They were unanimous.
Yes. Yes. For the list of the holiday survival tips.
Okay.
Okay.
So these are Goop's holiday survivals.
So they assembled some of the standby crown-pleasing breakfast recipes.
Does she address how to deal with my ex-husband's famous band members when they come over?
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what I'd like to know. Because I know she has experience.
Yeah, right.
You know.
A holiday playlist that sets the mood but won't drive you crazy.
Okay, no Coldplay.
Oh, yeah, but I looked at... Yeah, right. No Coldplay.
No rush of... Bloods.
But her playlist was, I saw it, it was like just, you could turn on the radio and hear all of it.
Oh no, is it just her humming around the house barefoot? You know,
doing
wearing a linen shift.
Doing arm toning,
gazing at herself. So it's basically she's turn on the radio.
So what they had.
Because she didn't do the research.
Yeah.
She just listened. She was like, you know what? I'll just listen to the radio and write down the songs.
And that's my playlist.
That's my playlist.
Because it's awesome. Because if they come to me, that's it.
That's it.
So what they have now, they sell one of those curated boxes or sets of curated boxes. But
what's in it? I just want a big box of smug from her.
Okay, they miraculously sell bulk online boxes, Goop curated boxes of goodies to fit every need. So from
curated crap,
AA batteries.
Excuse me?
To new toys, to vats of Advil, coconut flour, olive oil.
Katie, these aren't even things that are, like, amazing or cool or...
No.
So they just went to Walmart and threw some shit in a box.
Yeah, basically.
And said goop.
It's the stuff that they put in the box, it's just, like, Band-Aids, moisturizer, you know, batteries, hemp flour.
Okay.
Okay, so, like, if you want to bake, then there's some, like, baking stuff.
Okay.
But if you want, like, household items around, you have a box of that. But I was like, everything is just something you can get at Walmart.
Yeah, it's just random stuff. That's where they got it from.
Yeah, they went to Walmart.
And they just grabbed stuff
and
put it in a box. And
then they marked it up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Genius.
And she's, like, curated. I'm like, nothing was special on there. Nothing was, like, oh,
nothing was from, like, a celebrity. It's not, like, Oprah's hemp flower.
Right. I have everything in my apartment already. I was like,
you should put it in the box.
Yeah.
Close it up, then open it.
Yeah. It really was just like, you know, hand sanitizer.
This generic hand
toothpaste.
Sanitizer. It's equate version
she
from
went
Walmart.
Around her home and just started naming
and started
things.
Putting things in a box.
And it was like, this box will have all bathrooms. So it's toilet paper.
It's like a pair of my old shoes from last summer.
Yeah.
Anything she could find.
And that's the survival box.
Tissues.
Just, yeah, tissues.
Wow.
It was really the crappiest.
That's what I'm saying, snake oil. I mean, I can't be mad at her because she's not forcing people mm-hmm. to buy this stuff, but I think in a way she is taking advantage of people's stupidity.
She is.
And she could put something cool in that box. Like, she could go out and get, like, things that have been made by crass person who are overcoming, you know, some mm-hmm, difficulty mm-hmm. or something like that, or a women's collective somewhere, mm-hmm, or, you know, something that supports refugees. No, she just went to Walmart, got the Equate stuff, which is like Walmart brand, threw it in a box mm-hmm. and, like, you know, put some fancy tape on it.
Right.
And I'm sending it to you.
It's going to make your life so much easier. Well, yeah, I already have it.
Yeah. And then she seems like the kind of person, too, as you said, would buy bulk. So she'd buy like 100 batteries and then break them up into packs of two.
Yeah.
And just wrap a little cellophane around and throw that in.
Right. Well, Chiquetta, when I sent you a box of Q-tips, don't you use Q-tips?
Yeah, of course.
How could you survive the holidays?
I only need three, though. And I would like you to put them in a little cellophane bag and put that in there. Because I really only need three Q-tips. Okay. I have two ears, so maybe just two.
Okay.
You know, and one battery.
Yeah.
That's awful. She's awful.
Yeah.
I didn't really care that much for her when she was acting. I always thought there was something shady about her. And it's because she's like a modern-day P.T. Barnum.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably sitting around meditating. There's a sucker born every minute. Like,
there's
over and over again.
Every minute. As she does arm toning
exercises. Yes, arm toning exercises. With her hemp flower. She's throwing hemp flower.
What would you put in your survival box for the holidays?
I don't think I can say on the air. what would I put in my survival box? I think it would just be a skin of wine.
Yeah.
And it would be like a juice box. So you could just stick a straw in it. Yeah. You don't have to open the box. We don't have time for that.
I would have a bunch of wrapped up candles that you could give people as gifts.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Okay, so wine, we'll put the candles in there. Mm-hmm. I like to give out around the holidays to strangers the little packets of tissue paper.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are always sniffling.
Yeah.
And for some bizarre reason, I get like a little charge out of giving it to people because they're always like, oh, wow. It's like I've given them $1 million.
Like,
it's Publisher's Clearinghouse.
It's true.
And they're always so happy. Like, yeah. So one person almost started crying. I was like, it's okay, baby. It's just some Kleenex. It's not even Kleenex. It's from the dollar store.
Yeah.
10 for a dollar.
Yeah.
And they're like, can I keep the whole thing? I don't know. I think it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. If somebody gives you a whole, like, travel packet of mm-hmm. Kleenex, it's like gold.
And then, but one day I ran afoul of the people pretending to be deaf
mm-hmm.
that give out, that try to sell you the packets. Mm-hmm. And they saw me give one to someone, and they were just like, mm-hmm.
this is our gig.
Yeah, this is
Find
what I do.
Find another corner, lady.
Work another, sell it somewhere else, sister. Mm-hmm. So I have something here. I thought this was interesting, and I wanted to try this on you. Me being a black person, you ostensibly, supposedly being white.
I am supposedly white.
I don't want to out you.
Okay.
You guys haven't seen Katie, but.
Guess what?
Guess what?
I'm white.
So I found this ridiculous, kind of funny thing on Black America Web. It's a difference between a black and white holiday dinner. So I want to try this on you.
Okay.
See. So it says, number one, black people love giblets in their gravy, and white people, just gravy. Is that?
That's true.
That's true. Okay.
And I've only run across one other family, a white family with giblets,
mm-hmm.
and they were from the Bronx.
Oh, okay. So maybe they absorbed it from someone else.
Yeah.
So number two, stuffing. Versus dressing.
It's stuffing.
Dressing for us. So that is correct as well.
Wow.
Circle gets the square. It says white people eat green bean casserole, whereas black people eat broccoli and rice casserole.
Yes.
Okay,
green
again.
Green bean casserole, yes. And apparently,
I've had it at white people's houses. It's not bad.
My mother,
Dirty
who
onions.
Is white,
okay.
her
also.
Friend who was white claimed to have made up that recipe.
Really?
By the way.
With a jerky onion?
Yeah.
Wow. So it says, black people all about this, all about sweet potato pie. White people,
pumpkin. Pie.
That's what it says here.
Yeah.
Black people always seem to be waiting on somebody to come back from the store with iced drinks or something vital to the meal. White people already cleaning up.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is for every black event. It's always like, oh shit, we don't have any ice. It's like, really? How?
No, we usually, if anything, if people are disorganized,
Everybody goes away?
No, you show up at the place and you realize right at the onset what we don't have and someone goes out.
Oh, no, we just continually are running out for shit.
Oh.
It's number seven, black people, collard greens, white people.
What is collard greens? What would be the equivalent?
Some kind of leafy green.
Spinach?
Yep. And you got it. Representing white people for 10 points. It says white people will have traditional turkey. While black people will have a traditional turkey, a smoked turkey, possibly also a deep fried turkey.
That's yes, true. Multiple We'd kinds never of turkey. Have a deep fried turkey yeah. or a smoked turkey. No, no, you would never have a smoked turkey.
Yeah. It says white people tend to keep their dinners to immediate family, while black families have everybody and their mama there. This pretty I have much. Seen. Yes.
Pretty much. We've my family has had the occasional straggler.
Yeah. But just one.
Yeah.
Or two. I've gone to black events. I'm like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
It's that's so-and-so.
Oh, it's really family.
Cousin's mom or somebody who just came by. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. Yeah, but you keep it to the family.
It's family.
And it says number 10, casseroles. White people love casseroles.
Oh, yeah.
That's all. I was trying to think of a single casserole that black people would do, and I thought macaroni and cheese, but that's not a casserole.
That's not a casserole.
That's as close as we get to a casserole. And the last one, it says white people enjoy mashed potatoes. Black people go for potato salad. Don't forget the paprika.
Right. It's true.
It's
mashed
true.
Potatoes.
So this actually worked out pretty well, the cultural differences, right,
yes,
for food.
It was spot on.
Spot
and when
on.
You're talking about macaroni and cheese, we don't make it homemade. It's at Kraft out of the box.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, we'll eat that, but that's like, you know,
that's,
nuclear holocaust
that's
kind of
stuff.
That's
all we know.
You have never done a macaroni and cheese from scratch?
No, I have never.
Oh,
I've eaten other people's, but I did. I was a full grown adult before I realized you can make it.
Well, I know what I'm making you for the holidays.
Okay,
some good ass mac and cheese. Okay, so what do you have?
Oh, come on, it's gift giving season.
Yeah, it is.
How do you handle it on a tight budget?
C notes.
What do you do?
Half a C note. We'll give the other half next year.
Right.
Serial numbers will match up.
So you're hurting. Your wallet's a little thin there, or in your bank account's a little.
Your wallet's thin. Your bank account is non-existent.
Yeah. How to give money? How to give when money is tight? It's so embarrassing, though. But you really want to partake in like the festivities
and
everything.
Foot rubs.
So how do you handle it? First, you be honest.
Okay, I'm broke as a joke.
Yeah, freedom and honesty. Hey,
that's free.
And so once you admit to family and friends, money's tight and times are hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the honesty will unburden you from the weight of gift giving. And you may be surprised. Other people may have the same thing.
People might be like, thank goodness, I haven't gotten you shit.
Yeah, and don't be afraid of pity.
Pity
or
is
unsolicited
free.
Unsolicited advice. Just be like, hey, this year I'm going to send you a card, but that's it.
That's it.
And
be happy you got that. That cost me $8.
Yeah. I mean, just be like, this is what I'm doing this year. I'm going to be on a budget, and that's
why not
it.
Just do stuff for people?
Yeah.
Like, my family doesn't have a big, we don't have a tradition of giving lots of gifts to each other. We just get together and we have
mm-hmm.
a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it becomes a, you know, my mom has one kid,
mm-hmm.
but she has tons of nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's too much. So we don't give anything. We might bring a bottle
mm-hmm.
to the meal, like a nice bottle of liquor.
Oh, that's nice.
A Hennessy,
yeah.
Grand Marnier or something like that. But
another thing you can do is draw names. If you're in a family with a lot of people, draw names out of the
hat.
Oh,
you said you guys have done that before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've done it and it works out really
yeah.
well. And it's fun. And we made this big game about like guessing who is... Who
gave? Yeah. And do you guys put a cap on it just
yeah,
to make it fair?
Yeah, there's a cap on
yeah.
it. It's fair. And then my, so we have the guessing game, which I made up when we were younger. Like, whoever wins, like, whoever loses gets to guess. Whatever. It's
you get,
the
you get
the
a gift
rule.
Back.
There are rules. but my brother has now upped the ante where he wraps the gift in an incredibly difficult
oh,
manner.
Those people, yeah. You
no.
got to break into it. It's like Fort Knox.
Oh, yeah. Like, he wrapped up my thing in...
Was it a tiny gift and a gigantic amount of wrapping?
I honestly wanted this, a stepladder for my kitchen so I could reach the top cabinets.
Oh, that's
cabinets.
Cool. Yeah.
So he wrapped it up, put a hefty bag over it, and then duct taped the whole thing.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I was thinking
And then
about.
Another layer.
Yeah. Because you know what? You gotta want it.
Yeah.
You gotta want it better.
Yeah, yeah. So you can do fun things like that. This year I'll probably get him something, I'll freeze it. and he'll have to
yeah, you give him
cooler.
A blowtorch.
Yeah, be like here. Okay, you can buy and give in bulk. So you can buy a bulk of the same thing and give it to everybody.
Everybody's getting bleach. I bought tons of it. I'm parceling it out.
A bottle of bleach for you.
A bottle of bleach.
She'll use it. I wouldn't mind.
All right, we're out of time. So no matter how you're celebrating the holidays, we wish you the best of luck. You are armed and forewarned.
Yes, so, and go get them.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.